Now, it's week three already of a Time to Connect project, a lovely initiative started by my next guest, Lena Cronin of Cork ETB, and you're very welcome, Lena.
Thanks, Linda.
It's hard to believe, 3 weeks.
It is actually, you know, at one level time is flying, and at another level I think people are actually getting very tired now. But having said that, I've had some lovely letters during the week, and this morning I had an amazing poem from a woman who's 103 years old.
And the writing, 103?
103, and the writing is just hopping off the page. And hopefully in the next week or two we might read that one out. But one line really stuck in my mind from her poem. It was like, we all have a calling, you know? And I think that's a really good thing to remember these days, that we all have a purpose and we all have meaning in life, you know.
Yeah, and it's been great to see that people have been really receptive of this idea, haven't they?
I think so, and I'm glad to say as well, Sheila Gleason, you know, we read Sheila's poem on the first day. Sheila has written another poem, and I think that's just powerful, really, do you know.
Yeah, I know, it's brilliant to see.
It's great, really, do you know, it's great that people are taking part, and I think, you know, they just don't know who they're influencing out there, really, and making people's lives better, do you know, as a result.
Yeah, absolutely. And we say it all the time. I mean, this whole period of our lives can't be about doom and gloom. Do you know? It's a time for reflection as well. So tell me, what have we got lined up this week?
So we've got a really lovely poem by a man called Aidan P. Barry, a very heartfelt, poignant poem. And what's very interesting about Aidan's poem as well is that he compares the life to the sun and the moon. So I'll read that first, and then I've got a letter to RT1 complaining about the service, but also really talking about Shakespeare and how relevant Shakespeare is to life, because Shakespeare apparently wrote his most famous plays during the plague in 1601 in London, during the lockdown. So I think that's quite relevant as well. And then as a final piece, I've got a very spiritual piece from Natalie in Cork. So I will start off with Aidan P. Barry's poem. Okay. Just contemplate the sun, it's nature's energy to burn, and it performs the role casting light on every soul. Without it there's no life, no beast, no man, nor wife. Now consider the moon, it sings a different tune, and as far as I can see, its only role just to be. I used to think I was the sun, working, playing, having fun, winning, vying, lots of strife. Wasn't that fullness in life? Now I consider that I rather play the role of grandfather. They don't expect much of me, just like the moon, there to be. So that's Aidan's very beautiful poem, I think, really.
Yeah, it's really nice. And again, a way of taking a different perspective on stuff. You know, we all try and be the sun, but I mean, sometimes what's wrong with being the moon?
Exactly. I suppose for all of us, the moon is, you know, very mysterious and silent and quiet. And exactly, you know, there are both sides to life. And I thought it was a very unique way of looking at things by taking the sun and the moon as metaphors for life, really.
Yeah, no, it's lovely in fairness. On to our complaint, Tarty, I'm waiting to hear this one.
Well, this is it was written in Fitzgerald's Park, which I thought was kind of nice on the May weekend, and it's a letter to RT1. So, dear RT1, thank you for going on the blink days before the lockdown was announced. The seldom time I turn you on for the news. Current affairs was a lottery. You would inevitably cut out at the most interesting moment. Most galling was how you interrupted my enjoyment of a series of Shakespearean plays hosted for junior and leaving cert exams. You did, however, send me back to read the texts of plays like As You Like It, A Midsummer Night's Dream, Twelfth Night and Winter's Tale. All plays that I'd studied a long time ago at school. Plays that are often regarded as B-sides or light comedy in the canon of Shakespeare's work. Plays that were often performed at masques or revels in the Elizabethan court. What a clever man Shakespeare was. How good he was, not just at language, but also at plotting and characterization. My own hunch is that he wrote for a particular cast of players, actors who made up his Globe Theatre, communal theatre. A boat would row across the Thames on a Sunday evening. A man of the world, as he undoubtedly was, he knew how to entertain as well as to instruct. The groundlings, the great unwashed, for example, the ordinary people, had to be catered for as well as the elite who sat up in the gods, the circular houses that looked down on the stage. His plays always open with a nod to the groundlings, introducing characters that often play or pun on words. Modern cinema and soap opera owe a great debt to Shakespeare, a master of scene, cutting and plot. How direct his plays are and how they mirror the human condition, love, rejection, faithfulness, infidelity, all human life is in there. Subtle messages abound. Friars often came out very well. His family were Catholic, a religion that was surely suppressed in Elizabethan England. Kings, queens, princesses, emperors, power and the people are always at the centre of his plays, and he knew how to exploit the fascination with power and celebrity. And now I think the important part really, well, it's all important, but the part to do with the lockdown. A great plague struck London in 1606, a falling sickness that ravaged the city and killed tens of thousands. The playhouses were shut and people urged to stay inside. His three great plays, King Lear, Macbeth and Antony and Cleopatra, were written while in lockdown. Plays that play on fear, on how nature influences our lives, plays that have a powerful superstitious element, as with The Witches and Macbeth. Shakespeare retired to Stratford-on-Avon some years before he died and became a property developer, that commercial side of his nature once more coming to the fore. The first folio of his plays had to be prepared from prompts given to actors, as he didn't leave any copies of his plays behind. What is known of his life could be summed up in a few sentences. Maybe he intended it that way, or maybe he had some existential reason for bowing out and becoming anonymous. He hasn't even got credit for his plays, as an argument rages as to the author of all the plays to this day. What is left of us is love, as Raymond Carver said, and as Shakespeare himself foretold, O great Globe Theatre shall be destroyed, which it was in the Great Fire of London in 1616. These weeks of lockdown might be no bad thing, the texture and experience, whatever it is, being a natural part of the span of our life on this earth. We have to grow with this experience, allow it to work on us, which is, I presume, the whole point of life. There ends the homily. Yours as ever, Eugene O'Connell.
That's the most eloquent letter of complaint I've ever in my life heard, in fairness to.
Absolutely. Very, very well written, very well put, and draws a great analogy between the plague and, I suppose, the amount of creativity that's going on really at the moment as well in lockdown. You know, there are lots of concerts and indeed all the writing people are doing for this project as well. A great letter of complaint, isn't it?
Brilliant, in fairness. And again, as you mentioned there, this isn't the first time that humankind has been through a catastrophe. It will not be the last time it happens. But it is very interesting to see that each time it does happen, there's a pattern of creativity that seems to come out in people. And it does seem like the essence of us is to create, to look after one another and to express ourselves. And it's brilliant to see it.
I think so too. It's I really enjoyed reading that letter as well, because I suppose the last thing you expect really is somebody to write to you about Shakespeare. And I mean, why not as well? You know, that
It is one way certainly to catch the manager's attention. to mention Shakespeare in a letter of complaint. Now, what was the final piece you have for us? So
the last piece now is from Natalie, and it's a letter of gratitude, a very spiritual piece of writing. And it begins with, thank you all. Thank you to all my spiritual friends, some of whom I've never met, but who comforted me through their teachings, books or words. Thank you to my hero, my tutor, the man who stands close to me in sunny days and teary nights. Thank you to my mates far and near, white or chatty, who lit a candle when my path was dark and allowed me to do the same for them. Thank you to the furry helpers who showed me unconditional love when I thought it was a myth. Thank you to all the accidental teachers who showed me who I am through suffering eyes. Thank you to darkness, for it made me appreciate light. Thank you to my thoughts, which lead me in meanderings of incomprehension until I realized they weren't real. Thank you for pain. Without it, I wouldn't have created a better me. And thank you for joy, for sometimes showing its furtive face. Thank you to the books which revealed a world which I never knew existed. Thank you for the illusion, for it made me seek truth. Thank you to those who were able to see me as I am. And thanks to you, who read my words and could relate to them, for separation is only an illusion. Natalie.
Very well put, isn't it?
Absolutely. It really hit me when I got that, when I got this letter, because I think it's very spiritual and very, again, very heartfelt and just very real, I suppose.
Yeah, and it is. And like we say this every week, there is so much to be grateful for at the moment. So yeah. Much. I mean, the world needed to pause to see what was good in it. And you can only do that when you pause. And gratitude is so important. So, so important. Every time it's important. Every day it's important. But I think now it's nice to have a period in our lives where we can go, do you know what? I'm grateful for that. And Natalie puts it beautifully in her poem there.
She does. Absolutely. Absolutely. She does it with great gravitas, really.
Yeah. Lena, as always, a pleasure to talk to you.
We'll
push it out there as well. If you want to get in contact with Lena, if you want to send anything on, it can be a work of your own. It could be a poem you wrote yourself. It could be a relevant poem that you saw or a relevant story that you've seen, a newspaper clipping, whatever it may be. How do people get it to you?
If they could send it to me at lena.cronin@corketb.ie, that would be really great.
Brilliant. And as always, we'll put the offer out there. If you want to get it here to the station, we'll scan it and we'll get it on to Lena as well. Lena, until next week, we have that letter now. What was the name of the lady who's 103 years old?
I'm just waiting to get her permission to read it out on radio. So hopefully I'll have that by next week, Linda.
Yeah.
Just a lovely, lovely poem, you know, and I suppose what struck me was her ability at being 103 and being so full of energy and so full of hope, you know. And I think it would be nice for her too. I'm sure she'd be willing for me to read it out. So hopefully I'll have that for you next week.
Hopefully. Well, until next week, thanks a million, as always, for joining me. That's Lena Cronin of Cork ETB.
Thank you, Linda. Talk to you then. Bye now.